And we're looking at this from the angle of understanding our supreme identity, that because of who we are, first and foremost, supremely in Christ Jesus, is that we are to be separate and apart. So let's look at, by way of reminder, let's go back to our foundation text of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You see the their God and the my people, and I'll dwell among them. No, that's not everyone. No, these are those who he's called from the foundation of the world. Mm-hmm. Verse 17, as a result of verses 14 through 17, and even more, 16 rather, therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. And then go down to chapter 7, verse 1. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. And we look at verse chapter, we put chapter 7, verse 1 in there, because we can rejoice over all the wonderful promises and our identity as being righteous, as being light, Christ, the believer, being a temple of God, and him saying that he is going to be our father and walk amongst us and we'll be his people. We can rejoice in all of that and just stop there. But I love the, like, bringing it back. However, comma, there's something you, my believer, my righteous, my sons and daughters have to do. And that is chapter 7, verse 1. Cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. What is he telling us to do? Because of who you are, you must then live out the life before watching world. Amen. Yes, we are identified as righteousness, light, Christ, believer, temple of God. And so our supreme identity before all else is that we are children of God. We are the temple of God. Lord, help us to really catch on to that. Mm-hmm. We're the temple of God. And we talked about this before, just by way of review. We have to learn, and learn is a key word because it's not something that comes automatic. We need to learn to first see ourselves, not after the flesh, comma, but what? After the spirit. We have to learn that. We need to get into the habit. That's another word. The habit of recognizing that we are first and foremost spiritual beings. Amen. First and foremost spiritual beings. And then, secondarily, physical beings. For we're first spiritual beings. We're not ignoring the physical, but we're not that first. Let's look by way of review at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, just a couple of chapters over, verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. No one. And I'm going to say that even includes ourselves. Even though we've known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. The Amplified on that says, consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view in terms of natural standards of value. That, Lord, help us to get away from that. And I know we need you every hour to undo that way of thinking. Amen. Read it again. From now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view in terms of natural standards of value. That's exactly what we do. Height, weight, skin tone, hair, smarts, status. We got it bad. I know y'all holding got halos. I got it bad. Bad. I mean, just hearing that is very convicting. From now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view in terms of natural standards of value. We got that bad. Yeah. At least I do. Yeah. Then it says, no, even though we once did estimate Christ from a human viewpoint and as a man, yet now we have such knowledge of him that we know him no longer in terms of the flesh. We've got to get there, even for ourselves, let alone someone else. We still estimate ourselves according to a lot of times to purely human standards. And we allow ourselves to be defined by others by purely human standards, gaining our value only from the external. Even others impose their, to a certain extent, their value of us. That's because we're still learning to first see ourselves not after the flesh, but after the spirit. We're still learning to get into the habit of recognizing that we are first spiritual beings. So this is the process. So don't be too hard on yourself per se. It is a process. But on the other hand, don't let there be an excuse why we're not progressing in this area, because we should be. All of us should be. Amen. Because once we've heard it, guess what? We're accountable. Amen. We're accountable. 2 Corinthians 5:16 needs to be plastered on our phone screens, home screens, all our walls and everything. Yeah. We have turned it into a prayer. Lord God, I thank you that I don't recognize myself according to the flesh. Even though I did once know and recognize myself according to the flesh, yet from now on, I don't know this. I thank you'll help me to get there. You're my helper. You'll help me to get to this point. And that's where you fight your battles a lot better, meaning your conflict with people, because if you're seeing yourself fleshly and you're seeing everyone, spiritually, and you're seeing everyone else spiritually in a sense, not according to the flesh, then you can easily remember, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but against. Then it's a spiritual kingdom. But if we're hung up in the fleshly realm, the physical external realm, then we'll battle with that person. We'll battle with them and our thoughts about it. So reckon, wait a minute, this is a spiritual warfare. It's not about this person. There's a spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Isn't that what the Word of God says? So that means they're being influenced by someone. And we also have to remember too, when people are acting crazy around you, don't believe me, the Lord is behind that in a sense of allowing it, because if he didn't want it to happen, it would not have happened. He clearly says God is faithful. God says it about himself. I am faithful, and I will not allow you to be tempted, tested, or tried beyond your ability to endure it. So if your co-worker is just sideways, your cousin or somebody just out of the blue, if we stay in the physical human realm, we're going to be fighting, cussing, mad, and everything else. But if we see ourselves, first of all, supremely as spirit beings recognize, and that person as a spirit being not according to the flesh, that's Satan. I'm a spirit being, I'm a child of God. I gotta really, I'm gonna handle this spiritually. I'm gonna go after the real core of this, the real demon behind this situation. It's not that person. And then that, what that ought to cause us to do is to meditate the word, speak the word, hear the word immediately. I don't care if you got, if you're at work, if you got to go out of the press and go into the bathroom and turn on a 5-minute sermon, mm-hmm. or preach it to yourself for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. We're wrestling out against flesh and blood. Wrestling out against flesh and blood. We're wrestling out against flesh and blood. Keep repeating it. But against, but against, but against. Mm-hmm. We're not ignorant of your devices, Satan. Thank the Lord as my helper. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. We're gonna walk this. Huddle up, you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and your guardian angels in that bathroom, and 1, 2, 3, break. You come out renewed, empowered by the power of God. Mm-hmm. Learn to handle that person. Because he might tell you when you come up out of all of that, go buy lunch. And if you got to throw up first, because you can't stand up going by spending a penny on them, and buy the lunch that you would eat. not some garbage. Buy a good lunch. Oh, there's multiple benefits to not seeing yourself and other people not after the flesh. Multiple benefits. Multiple benefits. Look at Galatians 5. This is still our review. Galatians 5, 6. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. Let's look at that. I thank you the Lord has trained us here to just understand, you know, we don't have it all, even though this is our third week kind of going over a review. We're still hearing different things. Because of sin, because we're fallen, we don't get it. But I thank God he understands that. He remembers our frame, what? That we are dust. Yeah, we're just dust. Yeah. Amen. Thank God. That's it. We need, Peter, put these things in remembrance. Mm-hmm. That's at end time, so let them show. Galatians 5, 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, comma, but faith working through love. It's not the external. Mm-hmm. That's why when they were preaching that doing this external work of circumcising the male would somehow result in some sort of spiritual blessing, he said that means nothing. The same thing with water baptism. You just, as Peter said, you're just removing dirt from the flesh. And that's why when you do these external things and then you're told you're okay, that is so wrong. Only God can save. Because what's broken in us is spiritual. You understand why we said that a spiritual being? Because that's what was dead. It's our spirit. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. Amen. We're spirit beings. It's our spirit that's been born again. He's our spiritual father. Lord, help us to get this, to really transition our thinking and our understanding of who we really are. Because circumcision, nor uncircumcision, water baptism, saying some words, all of that means nothing. But faith working through love. Faith is spiritual. They're not believing in a God we cannot see. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Colossians 3:9. Are we understanding this a little bit more? I hope it's some encouragement. I know I'm being encouraged to really, really focus on not knowing anyone after the flesh. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. laid aside the old self. Isn't that a spiritual term? Sure, that's who you used to be before you were saved. And have put on the new self. That's who we are now once we are saved. Who is being renewed to a true knowledge. See, because we don't have it yet. According to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew. See, that's, you see that? Circumcision and uncircumcision. Barbarian, Scythian. Slave and free man. But Christ is all and in all. We need to keep hearing that. We really do. Amen. I don't care what gender, what color, your socioeconomic status. God is saving all kind of folks. Amen. The slave, the free, the rich, the poor, the Jew, the Greek, the black, the white, the male, the female. I love it. I can't wait to see all of the rainbow of cultures and ethnicities and social and economic statuses that are going. We're going to see in eternity forevermore. What a day of rejoicing that will be. There is no distinction. Do you know what this verse is telling us? That's why we don't focus on the flesh. Because there's no distinction. Why are you focusing on something that, no, for the most part, doesn't mean anything as far as really the value of a person? Can you catch that? That's where we get in trouble. We'll put a value on someone just based on their externals. And he said, no. In Christ, we're all equal value. That's true too. Whether you're a minister of helps versus the pastor up top. Before God, they're all equally valuable. Equally, I said, before God. Equally valuable. Before God. All ministries within the body are equally valuable. I said that three times. I want you to hear that. I know churches, we tend to put the pastor's ministry up here and the helps like down here. Nope, not before God. And I'm trying to treat the ministry of health. We don't have an official ministry of health, but we do have one here. And I think soon we're going to actually teach on that and then maybe even kind of name, do something with that. Yeah, because we need to do that. So you're valued in a mighty way. Amen. And when we look at each other with no distinction like that, then we're looking at as Christ Jesus is looking at us. Amen. Now we're being conformed into his image in thought, word, and deed. In thought, word, and deed. There is no distinction. And the only way that that happens is that we no longer know folks after the flesh.
Yes, Lord.
Help us. Help us. Yes, help us. Help us. We talked about it earlier. Not to say that color and ethnicity don't matter. They don't matter as much as we put. They don't matter to the point that we value or devalue someone according to it. Does that make sense? That's where we get in trouble.
Amen.
It's not to be overlooked because God chose to make us various shades of brown. Some lighter, some darker. More pigmentation, darker brown. Less pigmentation, lighter brown or melanin in the skin. That's all that is. But we don't value. You don't place a value. Everyone is to be valued because they were all made what? In the image and likeness of God. Amen. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Please. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, our foundation text. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness. Remember, we talked about that being probably from Isaiah 52:11, where it says, depart, go out from there, touch no unclean thing. Actually, that was, we talked about the yoke when we go to plow ground. Yeah, Deuteronomy 22. When we talked about unequally yoked, we used the word mismated or yoke with another of a different kind. In Deuteronomy 22:10, you should not plow with an ox and a donkey. You got a problem if you got an ox and a donkey standing side by side. It's not going to work out. We said a related word was found in Philippians 4:3, where you see the word true yoke fellow, which means companion. A companion who labors side by side with me in the gospel. When you are yoked with someone and they are not a Christian, it's because you've gotten in and you're working side by side with someone who is of a different kind. Do not be unequally yoked, mismated, or yoked of a different kind with unbelievers, the unconverted, the unsaved. We talked about this, but it doesn't hurt to talk about it again. When you talk about unbelievers, you're talking about someone whose spirit has not been raised from the dead, whose father is the devil, and who does not have the nature of God in them. For what partnership? Continuing in verse 14, for what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? What partnership? Partnership means to have something together with someone else. To have something together with someone else. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship, which is close association, has light with darkness? How are we sharing things with other folks? How are we having a close association with those who are lawless and in darkness? You know, when you put it like that, I wouldn't dare do that. Well, you got to realize that no matter how nice the sinner may be, the only good is God. And so if we're in partnership and if we are in fellowship with those who are dark and lawless, we have a problem. Again, we're not talking about just crossing paths. We're not talking about even working in the same, at the same job. We're not talking about shopping in the grocery store among a bunch of unbelievers. We're not talking about that. Notice he's using things like being mated and yoked, sharing something with someone else. We're talking about close association. That's more than just being in the room around somebody or in the store around someone. Does that make sense? You're in a relationship of some kind with these people. Look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 6. Here we're talking about being separate and apart. Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, verse 7, do not become, look at that, partners with them. Verse 8, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. So don't keep hanging with the darkness, which is where you were. Do not become partners with them. That's why I always warn you about like protests and joining protests. You know, you gotta be prayerful to the Lord. Is that what he would have you to do? You know, there's so much covert, behind the scenes understanding or motives or intent behind what appears to be surface like okay, but behind the scenes is really representing something else. Don't join too quickly with folks. Be careful. Be prayerful. One thing I've learned in the last couple of years, very thoroughly, because of Word of Life, the teaching of Word of Life, a lot of what you see is not what you're really seeing. It's the opposite of the dramatic song, what you see is what you get. No, what you see usually is not what you get. He said, do not become partners with them. Do not become partners with them. Look at, as we get ready to close, look at Exodus chapter 23. Let's look at some Old Testament scriptures about being remaining separate and apart.
Exodus what?
Chapter 23, my bad, verse 31. Exodus chapter 23, verse 31. Ephesians 5:6 again. Let no one deceive you with empty words. So I went through all of those definitions because many in the body of Christ were being deceived with empty words. We didn't know they weren't empty unless you do some homework and evaluate those definitions because they sounded good on the surface. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Word of Life talk about being thinking again. It's a very good piece too. Very good. About being a thinker. Analyze that stuff. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. There's so much deception. And of course, why wouldn't it be? Who's running the world? The father of lies. He's a liar. Almost everything you're hearing, if you would depend on who you listen to, especially if it's not dealing with directly the things of God, almost everything you're hearing, whether it be talk shows or news or anything, has some slants to it. There's an agenda. It's a word again. Yeah. There's an agenda to that. Don't be deceived with empty words. For because of these things, with the empty words, the wrath of God comes upon the son of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. And I'm talking about in your mind. Exodus 23:31. And I will set your border from the Red Sea to the Sea of the Philistines, and from the wilderness to the Euphrates. For I will give the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. The inhabitants of the land are the them they're going to drive out. Here's why. 32. You shall make no covenant with them and their gods. You see that? Make no covenant. Is that not same as don't fellowship? Don't become a partner? Don't share? And some of the other words, is that not telling them don't be unequally yoked? Don't have close association? Yes. He says, make no covenant with them and their gods. Verse 33. They shall not dwell in your land. Here it is, Word of Life. Put your eyes on it. Lest they make you sin against me. Do you see that? That's why you are not to have fellowship, be mismated, yoked up with to have something together with someone else, or to have close association with darkness, lawlessness, and unbelievers. Why? Because they might make you sin against God. For if you serve their gods, it will surely be a snare to you. That's right. I know, like Chris and Glenda or Miss Darlene or Miss April, you know, those who have Miss Palmer, those who have cousins or little grandchildren, you're not their parent. But boy, oh boy, as I said before, when they're around you, you watch who they hang around, at least in your little neck of the woods. I know they got to go home and do that, but at least you're planting some seed. Now, little Johnny, you can't hang around him. My mother had to whip me. She told me, don't be around this dude. But I didn't want to be around him. She caught me. Sure did. Caught me red-handed on a Saturday morning. And she whipped me good. Mother knows. She knows what's going on. My man never had been right. Never had been right. Don't associate. Don't have a close associate. Don't be hanging with them. Don't be sharing things with this. He said, lest they make you sin against me. If you serve their gods, it ain't going to be good for you.
Right.
Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. There's huge danger in partnering or being mismated or yoked up with an unbeliever, with darkness, with lawlessness. Well, listen to the words. Someone who's lawless. What does that mean? To live as if there is no law of God. They live their whole lives. And we're going to yoke up with that? Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 1. When the Lord your God brings you into the land that you are entering to take possession of it and clears away many nations before you, look what he got to do. Get them out of there. The Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Havites, Jebusites, seven nations more numerous and mightier than you. And when the Lord your God gives them over to you and you defeat them, then you must devout them to complete destruction. Why? You shall make no covenant with them and show no mercy to them. Now, is God just being a ruthless godfather for the sake of just being a ruthless godfather? Lord, help us to get how disturbing and unsettling and how much you really don't want us to yoke up with the unbeliever.
Amen.
He goes through all of this. He clears out all seven of those tribes, thousands of people. He clears them all out. He said, make no covenant with them, show no mercy. Verse 3, you should not intermarry with them. See, that's not mean. Part of being unequally yoked or mismated, or yoked up with someone that's not the same, is marrying someone who's an unbeliever. Don't marry them. Giving your daughters to their sons and taking their daughters for your sons. For they would turn away your sons from following me to serve other gods. There it is again. It's going to cause you or I, children of God, to turn away from God the Father and serve their gods. Isn't that something that God is saying that? He didn't say, go ahead and do it because, you know, we're going to turn them from bad to good. He did every, look at the warning again. That's why I am dead set against sending a child to public school. Especially those who you hear the reasoning where, well, if you bring them up real strong and in things of God, you know, maybe we'll do elementary, but then start in junior high, they'll be solid enough in the things of God to handle themselves. And who knows, God may put them on the evangelical, no. An evangelistic mission, and unless God actually tells you that, you better not send that kid up into that mess. Look what he says here, to turn away from God. You want to see all of your work from zero to 12 years old disappear in a hurry? Send that child up to a public school where they have them for 6 hours a day for 10 months a year. That's close association. Homeschool them. Do something. For they would turn away your sons from following to serve other gods, then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and he would destroy you quickly. Who is God holding responsible? You, me, us. Not the people that turned us away. We're responsible. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall break down their altars and dash in pieces their pillars and chop down the asherim, those like totem pole things, and burn their carved images with fire. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. Do you see that? What is he saying? Identity. Your supreme identity is you are a people that's holy, which means separate and set apart to me. Goes back to identity because of who you are. Mm-hmm. That's why you don't do that. You belong to me. My mother whipped me because we don't do that. You don't be around him because he's doing things that I don't allow you to do. And I don't want you around that. That's what God is saying. Same exact thing, just on a whole spiritual level. You don't be around that. And I'm going to tell you something else. I don't know what all your jobs are, but you need to also, just going to drop a word, you need to evaluate your jobs. Now, if God got you there, then God got you there. You're supposed to be where God has you. When I was talking to someone maybe even earlier this week too, but they were evaluating their job as they're locking in more on the things of God. I said, now that's good to lock in on things of God. Because if you even question the job instead of just saying, well, if I don't have this job, my money, this, that, and the other, you're like, you know, I'm not even supposed to be here. Evaluate that. Because if something causes you to walk away from the things of God, it's not worth having it. That's what God would say, man, kill everybody. Everything. Come into complete destruction. Because I don't want you to walk away from me. If you let them stay around, they're going to pull you away from me. One bad apple does spoil the whole bunch. Mm-hmm. And he tells you why. Identity. Verse 6 again. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Remember that song we sing in Word of Life quite a bit. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. Wow, he's chosen you. Is that not separate from ours? Is that incredible? Out of all the people, he's chosen us. Oh my goodness. Woo, don't help us to get that. He's chosen us. He's chosen you. And you, get chosen. He's chosen us. That's great time to rejoice, but there's phenomenal responsibility. Check your associations. Even family. You pray for family. You speak to family. Go to your family reunions. Hug on family. But not to be closely associated, yoked up, and all the other things. Because darkness, lawlessness, unbelievers, belying, which is another name for Satan, all of that is in your family too. In my family too. No family isn't everything, unless it's God's family. Because your family is everything. No, not biological family, not necessarily. And the Lord will tell you how to walk that fight, that fine line when it's a family reunion. You're around things. He'll tell you how to walk it out. You may find yourself talking to just one out of 500 people sitting there. If you do that, just go into the Lord. But by all means, be careful who you're hanging with. You have to hang by yourself. Because first and foremost, we are, verse 6 again, holy to the Lord our God. We are a people that is holy, separate, set apart to the Lord our God. The Lord our God has chosen us to be a people for his treasure, possess us today at this building, Word of Life. out of all the people who are on the face of the earth, he chose us. Thank you, Lord. That's something to really rejoice in. We'll stop there and we'll pick up next time. Father God, great encouragement for us, your people. I thank you that when we pray, help us to no longer know folks after the flesh, including ourselves. That's a prayer that you'll answer. That's in your will. So I'm already excited about you answering that prayer on our behalf. And then all the benefits that come behind it, being able to do quote-unquote spiritual warfare when human beings are right in front of us getting on our nerves and we want to just choke the smoke out of them. Instead, we'll remember your word and use the guidance of the Holy Spirit and avail ourselves of the power of your might working in us. And we'll overcome that victory according to the Spirit in Jesus' name. Help us that if we're in any circumstances that are causing us to be yoked up or mismated with an unbeliever, with darkness, with lawlessness, you bring it to our attention. Because, Father, it may be a slick move that we don't even realize is going on. Like, oh, I didn't realize that. Right. So help us to bring it to the fore. Help us to dissolve all partnerships, all associations, all yoked upness. It's not a word, but it is tonight. With anyone that's not saved, expose it. And when your Spirit speaks to us with our whole heart, we will agree. And our answer will be what, word of life? Yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. In Jesus' name, and the people of God said, amen.